And that's the problem, because you don't have a cohesive kind of party structure that can go out to the electorate and say, if I get a majority, I will build 1,000 houses. Because then when they get a majority, they've got no excuse for not building 1,000 houses, because they've got the public mandate and they've got the power to do it. Whereas the system we have at the minute, actually no politician can make that promise at an election, because they know, well, I'd like to build 1,000 houses, but maybe Mr. Callister only wants to build 500, and maybe Mr. Cannon only wants to build 250, and maybe Mrs. Kane wants to build 5,000. So actually the number you agree on is going to be totally different to what anyone thought at the outset at election time.
And then, of course, we get into the, well, should they be public sector housing? Should they be low-cost housing?
Absolutely. And then you end up with politicians coming in, and Mr. Thomas is excellent at this, wondering about, well, what do we define as affordable housing? What do we mean by, what is a house? You know, those level of, and again, absolutely valid conversations to have. But it means you can't make definitive policy statements at election time that you then stick to, that you can be held to. You know, it's quite easy. If you've got a party in the UK and they've got a majority and they have promised not to raise income tax, we've seen that's what the Labour government has promised. That's quite a black and white promise to make. They have a majority, so if they now change their mind and do that, it's quite clear that that's something they can be held accountable for at the next election. But when you don't have a majority, actually, you can promise what you like, because then when you go back to the electorate, all you've got to say is, well, I didn't want to do that, but I was outvoted. I was outvoted by the other people, by all those really bad people in Tynwald. I fought for you, I promise. And you see that now, and you'll see it with the living wage debate, for example, where a majority of Tynwald members voted to have a lower living wage on the Isle of Man. So we're not going to have a living wage now, we have a minimum wage that is not a living wage. And I guarantee you, those members that supported that decision to abandon the living wage will be going out to their constituents saying, well, I do support a living wage, actually, but it's other people that did that. I'm really disappointed in that outcome.
Well, you can do more than guarantee that, because that's what they said in the Tynwald debate. They disagreed with you that, in their view, what was proposed actually was a living wage, in their view.
Absolutely, and that's the problem you've got here. You can't hold people really accountable for their decisions, because there's always a way of saying, well, it was a compromise and I had to compromise to get it through and it really wasn't me. Whereas if you have a party structure where you've got people that can easily be held accountable, you can do that at election time. You can say, no, we had a Liberal van in government last time around, you made these promises and you did not deliver, so I'm not going to vote for a Liberal van in candidate the next time around. You can do that with a party structure. It's easier to have that sense of collective responsibility, I think, with a party. It's much harder to do that with individuals. It's much harder to do that with our current approach to politics. And in some ways, our current approach kind of works, because everything is a compromise, so you very rarely get big policy shifts, which gives us a bit of stability, but it does mean everything is very slow.